Well, good evening. Good to be here with you. Thank you for being faithful this evening in the Lord's house. Amen. It's an honor to be with you. It was an honor to preach to you this morning a little bit. And it's even more of a blessing when someone comes down and gets saved. Amen. Because that's what it's all about. Amen. It's all about seeing folks saved. Amen. And tonight I want to be a blessing to you. Well, first of all, let me just say we are leaving Thursday. Amen. And pray for us as we go back. I've got so much on my plate as soon as we get back. I mean, we're going to get off the plane. We leave Thursday. We'll get there Friday, get off the plane Friday morning. And it's just stuff one after the other. I mean, we've got visitation. We've got married couples Saturday night. I've got to do a wedding. I've got marriage counseling the following week. It's just all of the services. And so it's just back-to-back stuff just as soon as we get there. Amen. And we have a, in Chile, we use kind of your strategy. We entice them with food sometimes. And so during the winter months when it's hard to get people to come because it's cold and it's rainy, amen? And 39 degrees down there this morning, amen? And so during the winter months, which is June, July, and August, we have a big breakfast the last Sunday of each of those 3 months. And so this coming next Sunday is the last Sunday in June, so we'll have a big breakfast. And we do that during our Sunday school hour, amen? And so we feed them, amen? And then we preach to them, amen? And we usually have a pretty good turnout. You know, people come out when there's food involved, right? Amen? So pray for us, amen? Pray we don't get sick, amen? I mean, we're going from this temperature back to what I consider pretty cold, being a Florida boy, amen? And so we're loading up on the vitamin C. Taking 2,000 milligrams a day right now, 1,000 in the morning and 1,000 in the evening, amen? Because if you don't, as soon as you get there, within 3 or 4 days, you'll have that runny nose and you'll have that sore throat. I mean, it just happened just like that, amen? That shock on the body. Because when you get there coming from this heat, you think that it's not as cold as it really is. And you start not dressing the way you should. And after just a few days of that, you're sick. And not to mention all the virus that's going on in that time of the year as well. And so pray for us, amen. One time we've done that and I got bronchial pneumonia. I mean, that's how serious of a shock it is on the body, amen. So please do pray for us, amen. We don't want to get sick, amen. But we do want to get back, and well, we've got a lot to do down there. Pray for the church in Chile. It's a work in progress. But we see a lot of fruit down there. We see a lot of folks get saved, amen. And I've got a good man helping me down there. I've been training him now for about 3.5 years, and he's doing such a good job. He never preached one sermon in his life, amen, till he preached it in my pulpit, in our pulpit down there in Chile in the church. But he's doing a good job. I mean, everybody tells me he's just preaching so good. And what's kind of weird is they tell me he preaches just like you. I was preaching in a church in Georgia, Pastor Carter, just recently. Young couple come up to me after the service, and they have some family in this church. Where was we at in Georgia? I preached several times. Military town there, western Georgia, I guess. And they come up to me after the service, and they said, "Oh, we got family Landmark. We know Landmark. We've been down there." And I was like, "Oh, wow, that's great. It's a small world." And they said to me, "They said you preach just like Pastor Carter." I was like, "Really? Amen." Well, praise the Lord for that. Amen. That's what they said to me. Amen. And so it's amazing how that kind of stuff rubs off. Amen. And well, amen. Let's get into the Word of God tonight. Amen. What I want to do tonight is I'm a big prophecy guy. I love prophecy. Do you know I've read about 500 books on the Bible? Yeah, that's a lot of reading, isn't it? You know what you got to do to read 500 books? Turn the TV off. And so I love prophecy. I love getting into some of that stuff that's not real clear in the Bible, but we can take an opinion on it. Amen. And my opinion is just as good as yours. Amen. We can agree to disagree on some things and still be Christian, right? We sure can. Amen. And so I like to get into sometimes to some of those deep thought subjects. I'm going to get into one just a little bit with you tonight. I think it'll be a blessing to you. Amen. And I know what I'm talking about. I've done my research on it, and I think it'll be a little bit of a help to you. So let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to start off this message right here. We're going to use the Bible a lot tonight. I'm going to jump around some. 1 John chapter 3. Amen. Everybody's got their Bible. You're going to learn so much more if you bring your Bible to church every service. And when the preacher says, turn here, you turn there. When the preacher says, turn there, you turn there. It's going to help you. It's a sad commentary. Somebody has been in church 10, 15, 20 years, and the preacher says, let's go to the book of Ezekiel. And you're the last one getting there. Amen? Because you're so unfamiliar with your Bible. Amen? That's the way we skin them down there in Chile. They all bring their Bibles. Amen? Okay, 1 John chapter 3. We're going to pick it up in the very first verse. Verse 1, I'm just going to read about three verses here to kind of give us a setting of the context. Amen? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. This is what the Bible says. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Amen. I'm going to preach to you, speak to you on this thought here about the sons of God. Amen. So let's pray. God in heaven, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for this great church. And thank you, dear God, for each and every person here this evening. Thank you for their faithfulness, Lord God. I pray, God, that you would help me, Lord God, to be filled with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, to do a good job, Lord God, to represent you, Lord God. I pray that something that is said tonight, Lord God, would just stick in someone's heart, Lord God, and be a help and a blessing to them. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I was having a conversation with someone recently here in the area about this thought of the sons of God. It wasn't real deep conversation, but it was kind of in the area of that, and it kind of put some things in my mind. I began to think about it when I got home and began to go back and read a few verses, and if you think about that thought, the sons of God, it's kind of a broad term, but it's not as broad as you might think. You're only really going to find that term about 11 times in your King James Bible. And it only refers to a few different groups of people. Amen? And in one side, that term, the sons of God, it implies humans that have a special relationship with God. You're going to find that Adam was called a son of God. Now, did not Adam have a special relationship with God? He walked with him in the cool of the morning in the garden, right? So Adam definitely had a special relationship with God. You're going to find that King Solomon was also referred to as a son of God. You'll find in the book of Hosea where the whole nation of Israel is referred to as God's sons. Amen? And so the son of God refers to people that have a special relationship with the Almighty, with the God of heaven. But you know what goes? It goes much deeper than that. If you follow that theme through, and somebody just give me the whole book, the two books on the first mention in the Bible, amen. By the brother man, amen. And I appreciate that. I'm gonna read those, amen. And if you follow that theme through, you're gonna find some interesting thoughts. That the sons of God. Now notice it's plural form, meaning more than one. It's not talking about the Son of God, the one and only begotten Son of God. It's not talking about that Son. It's talking about more than one, all sons of God, plural. Amen? And of course, we know that we, once we become born again Christians, are engrafted into that thought of the sons of God. When we get saved, when we get our names written in heaven, we become a child of God. We understand that. That's woven all throughout the New Testament, that thought. But did you know that that term, the sons of God, also refers to angelic beings? Do you know that? It does. I'll show you several places. Amen. So I want you to turn with me in the Bible. I want you to use your Bible tonight. We're going to go to Job chapter 38. And I'm going to show you a very important spot where it says this. Job chapter 38. Now, I don't have none of these verses marked neither, so you can find them as fast as I can. Amen? Job chapter 38, and I'm going to look at verse 4. Job 38, 4 through 7. And this is what the Bible says. Job 38:4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, I want you to key in on these words, the sons of God. And then I want you to think about when that was taking place. Well, in the book of Job, it tells us when God laid the foundations of this world. I mean, when God spoke this world into existence, when God stretched the line upon it, when God laid the foundations, at that moment, it says that the sons of God shouted for joy. And it also calls them morning stars. So these sons of God in that verse would have to be angelic beings, because Adam had not been created when God laid the foundation of this world. Would you agree with that? Okay, so that's got to be talking about angels. Let's go to Job chapter 1. Let's go to the beginning of the book. In the beginning of Job, it says this in a couple of different places. We'll look at verse 1 and verse 6. Another location where we're going to find this thought of the sons of God. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Job chapter 2 and verse 1, it says this. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came along to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And so there's a couple of things that I draw from these verses. The one thing is that angels called the sons of God was there at the creation. Angels also called the sons of God was there two different times when Satan presented himself before the Lord. At this point, Satan still had access to heaven. Now, you're going to find out in the Bible that when people, or I guess we could really say angels, when they lose their position with God, their name changes. Now, Satan used to be called who? Lucifer. Until he turned on God. And then they received a different name. When your position changes, and it's not uncommon, you even find it referred to us in Romans chapter 2, says that we will receive a new name also. When your position changes. And let me show you that just to show you my thought on this. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, I got the verse here somewhere. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. It said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Those that overcome. Who are those that overcome? If you read a little other part of the book of Revelation, you'll find out the overcomers are those that have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so they too were receiving new names, because their position, their identity with God had changed. So Lucifer, when he rebelled against God, he gets kicked out of heaven. He's no longer referred to as Lucifer. He's referred to as Satan. Now, in the Bible, it's very common that we preach and we believe that one third of the angels rebelled with Satan against the Almighty. And they get that from the book of Revelation, over about chapter 12, I guess it is. Revelation chapter 12, where it talks about the dragon. And we won't go there, but where it talks about the dragon, how he drew one third of the stars of heaven. That's where they get that from. That one third of the angels of heaven rebelled against the Almighty. And so also in Isaiah chapter 14. I want to take a note there for a minute. Isaiah chapter 14, it says this about Satan. In Isaiah 14 and verse 12, very familiar verse, it says this. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" See, the moment he falls, his name, the Lucifer side of his name, he's not referred to that no more. No more in the Bible. It's the devil. It's Satan. It's the dragon. It's the beast. I mean, it's a lot of different terminologies. But he says, son of the morning. Son of the morning. Now, you remember when God laid the foundations of the earth, he said that the sons of God sang, and who else? The morning stars. You ever heard that Satan was in the music business up in heaven? Where do you think they get that from, my man? He was maybe one of those morning stars. And Luke 10 says, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." So when you get over into the New Testament, they never refer to him as Lucifer. He's always referred to as Satan. Amen. He's changed positions. He's on the losing side. He's rejected God. Now, can you imagine what kind of talker he must have been to convince that many angels, whether if you believe it was one third or not, it doesn't matter. We'll use the one third just for the sake of this study. But to convince that many angels to rebel against God, what kind of a talker he must have been. I mean, he had the spirit of persuasion, did he not? And he was good at his job. And so that's what we're dealing with here. So that title, the sons of God, definitely refers to angelic beings also in your Bible. Now, there's people that don't believe that, and that's okay. That's okay. You find out when we get to heaven, I was right. Amen? I want to show you something else. And this is interesting, because one of the most confrontational portions of Scripture where you're going to find sons of God, of course, is in Genesis chapter 6, where the sons of God came down. Now, if you go by Brother Mann's thought of the first mention, amen, you really kind of have to go along with that thought as well, that the sons of God in that context, because all of the places, or the next several places in the Bible that it uses the sons of God, it's also referring to angelic beings. It's not like it says it in Genesis chapter 6, then when you get to the book of Job, it uses it in another context. No, it uses it in the same exact context that they were angelic beings. Now, I want to show you something over in 1 Peter. This has always been an interesting topic to me, and an interesting thought here in the Word of God. And sometimes we have to get past the milk and get into a little bit of the meat of the Word of God. I want to notice something here, what it says. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to look at a verse here on about verse 19. I'm going to back up and read verse 18 with it. 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Now, I want you to notice this transition in thought here. Peter, this is what he says, "by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison." Now, notice what he calls these angels, because these spirits are angels. He says, "which sometime were disobedient." We refer to them as the disobedient angels. "When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." If you read that context right there, you're gonna realize a couple of things if you sit down and think about it. Okay, these disobedient angels, where does it say they're at? It says that they're in a prison. Okay, that means they're not running the earth, right? They're in a special place. And so if they're in a special place and they're not running the earth, how could they be a part of the one third that came down with Lucifer and his big fall? Now, would it surprise you to find out that there's more than one group of fallen angels in the Bible? Right. Did you know that Lucifer, when he drew the one third, you see, they're his puppets in the earth today. They're very active.
Who do you think all those demons were that he cast out of the man of Gadara when he cast those spirits into 200 herd of swine? Well, those spirits that went into that 200 herd of swine were not in this prison that Peter's talking about. All the devils that Jesus cast out, that the apostles cast out, these were not in some kind of secret prison. Amen. No, they were here on the earth. The devil is not in hell. Now, his final destination is the lake of fire. But before he even goes there, he's going to spend 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. And so the devil and his angels, they've got free reign. He's the prince and power of the air. They've got free reign here on this earth. And if you notice in that verse that Peter links these spirits, these angels, these disobedient angels with Noah. You see that? You see that? Now let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. All right. 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's read it again. In verse 4, this is what it says. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, these are the same disobedient angels. Okay? It's a special type sin. And Peter is signifying it to us. He says, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. So he says that that prison, he called it in 1 Peter, in 2 Peter, he calls it hell. So where are these angels at right now today? They're in hell. That's what Peter said. He said, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into, watch this, chains of darkness. Can they get out? Have they gotten out? No, because he says, to be reserved unto judgment. So these angels, not only are they in hell, but they're in chains. And they're reserved unto judgment. These are not, I repeat, they are not the same devils that Jesus was casting out in his public ministry. They're not the same devils that Peter, that Paul were casting out in their public ministry. It's a different group altogether. And notice what he says in verse 5. Now, verse 4, he tells us about them. And then verse 5 and verse 6, he links it together. In verse 5, he says, and that's a continuation of verse 4, that the reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And, continuation, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto us that after should live ungodly. Now, I want you to think about this. Here in 2 Peter, Peter felt that it was important to add even more to the same thought about these disobedient angels. He gives us even more information. Here, he says that these angels are in hell and they're reserved with chains under darkness. And then he links them again right back to who? To Noah. And so their sin, whatever they did, and you can contemplate and debate that all you want, but whatever they did, it's linked two times now to the days of Noah. And he says this, he says in verse 6, after the flood and everything, and then verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now catch this thought. The angels that sinned, the flood of Noah, Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, that's chronologically in order. Those three things happen chronologically in order. But what did the Sodom and Gomorrah have to do with the destruction of the flood? Destruction under Noah. God destroyed the planet. And definitely, what did it have to do with these disobedient angels? Peter is trying to link it all together for us. You got to have a little bit of a curious mind to understand what he's talking about. It doesn't take a very intelligent person to understand that the devils that Jesus cast out in his public ministry are not in hell right now. They're roaming this earth. So it's got to be talking about another different group of angels. Can I tell you there's a third group? You know that the Bible says that there's four angels right now chained underneath the Euphrates River. Do you know that? Yeah. What'd them guys do? Well, they got themselves in a heap of mess. Huh? Because they're underneath the river right now. And they're there chained for a specific day, for a specific moment, when they will be released in the tribulation. And the Bible says that one third of all humanity will be destroyed. I just about imagine that them four angels that are underneath the Euphrates River, and the Bible says they're chained. Not with chains that you and I could cut through. I mean, they special chains. They chains that God put down there. Amen. And I can just about imagine how upset they are. Huh? I mean, they're angry. Amen. I mean, they're ready to kill somebody. That's exactly what they're going to do when they get released. Now, let's go back to Peter here. So he says, the angels that sinned, he links it with Noah, and then he links it with Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, what was the problem in Sodom and Gomorrah? Why did God judge Sodom? The very name tells us, right? The very name. That's a nasty name in the day that we live in, right? Yeah, nobody wants to be associated with Sodom, huh? Yeah, well, in Sodom, they had a very particular sin. And if you go back to the book of Genesis, it tells you all about it. You remember when Lot went down there with his family? Wasn't good enough looking at Sodom from a distance. He had to move his family there. You remember how he got in trouble? You remember how the angels come down there to warn him that God was going to bring in a destruction upon the city and that you need to escape with your family? You remember that the angels came and they said, bring these men out that we might know them. And you might play on that it was something different, but when Lot said, do them no harm, here's my two daughters, take them instead. Well, that kind of breaks it right down to you what he's talking about. And so Sodom and Gomorrah had, for lack of a better word, sexual problems. There was problems there in that area. And God links these angels with the flood of Noah, with Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, you might say, well, everything has to be established with two witnesses. That's what the Bible says. So the witness of Peter maybe wouldn't be enough for you. Amen? Does anybody else speak about it? Well, thankfully, the Lord put somebody else. So let's go to the book of Jude. Now turn over to the book of Jude. And you're going to find that Jude backs up exactly what Peter is saying. Let's go to the book of Jude. I memorized the book of Jude one time, all 25 verses. Amen. Me and another guy, amen. But the book of Jude, let's look at verse 6. Jude 6. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. Where was that? Heaven. So they left heaven. He hath reserved in where? Everlasting chains. Under darkness until the judgment of the great day. Has the great day come yet? No. That's still future. That means these angels are still in chains tonight. They're not the same angels that Jesus was casting out in his public ministry. They're not the same angels that was cast into 200 herd of swine. Not the same ones. Not the same ones, the one third, we could call them that, that rebelled with Satan. No, this is a different group. They had a different type of sin. You see, their sin wasn't, I want to be God myself. I'll exalt my throne above. Amen? No, that wasn't their sin. Huh? Their sin wasn't because they followed Lucifer. No, Peter tells us very plainly that their sin was that they went after strange flesh. Now watch this. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, until the judgment of the great day, even as, here it is, he links it right back for us again, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them, in like manner as what? Like manner as these fallen angels, giving themselves over to, what? Fornication. Now, Jude said that these fallen angels who are in chains under darkness gave themselves over to what? fornication. That's what it says. And somebody say, well, the angels can't reproduce. How do you know? Angels can't do that. How do you know? Huh? I believe the Bible over your word any day. It says, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth for an example. What? Sodom and Gomorrah, an example for us. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You know, I had read the book of Enoch years ago, and I just read through it again, especially the book of the Watchers, which is believed to be the oldest part of the book of Enoch. And I know that it's not scripture. I know it doesn't belong in your Bible, but it's interesting reading. You know that we've got two Greek versions of the book of Enoch from the 4th century. Did you know that in the book of Enoch, he describes in detail the same exact fallen angels and the same type of sins and why they fell? He maps it out for you. Now, some people believe that the book of the Watchers, which is the oldest part of the book, even dates back pre-Christ. And some would say the Maccabean revolt, when the Maccabees revolted during the 400 silent years, which was between the last book of the Old Testament and the first book of the New Testament, those 400 years, that the Maccabean revolt, it's called. And so even dates back that. So the book of Enoch, especially the Watchers, could be 300 years before the birth of Christ. You remember Paul was a reader. I don't encourage you to be a reader tonight. Paul was a reader. Remember, he said, bring the books, and especially the parchments, right? Paul was a reader. And so if the book of Enoch did exist in the days of the disciples, I just about imagine that Paul read it. I would think so. He was a big reader. And it's just interesting thoughts when you begin to kind of put it together a little bit. These disobedient angels and how they had sinned against God, and how God has a special judgment pronounced upon them. When we find the thought that runs through the Bible about the sons of God and how it's possible that angels came down from heaven. Let me show you something here in Genesis chapter 6, and I think this will be interesting as well. In Genesis chapter 6, let's go to the beginning of our Bibles. Just one little thing here. I won't get deep into Genesis chapter 6. I'm just going to show you something here. There's people that will say that it wasn't angels, the sons of God, that it was the descendants of Seth. And they even go as far, they'll say the righteous descendants of Seth. Amen. Like the descendants of Seth were all that good. Yeah. Yeah, they were completely good. Because the very next chapter, God killed them all in the flood. That's how good they were. Amen. But anyway, look at chapter 6, and this is what it says. And the generations of Noah, verse 9. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Comes from the word gene, by the way. That word generations. He was perfect in what? His gene line. Help yourself. It says here, and Noah walked with God. And in verse 10 it says, and Noah begat sons. In verse 11 it says, the earth also was corrupt before God. I don't see no righteous sons of Seth here. It says that the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. It says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt for all flesh. That's what he said. Yeah. He didn't say the sons of Cain were corrupt, but the sons of Seth, well, they were good guys. He didn't say that. No. He said, all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. But God said it to Noah. See, Noah found grace in God's eyes. Amen. Noah was perfect in his generation, in his gene line, if you would. And we could go even deeper with the thought of how the giants come from all of that, and we won't have time for all that tonight. I do want to bring you back to 1 John. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 3. We know that thought on the sons of God also applies to us that have been born again. Amen? He says here, beloved, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Meaning that the very moment that someone gets born again, they become a son of God. They are into the family, amen? They become a son of God. It says here, and doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. You know why? Sons of God. You know why? Because our bodies are going to be changed. That's why. Right. There's a change over our vile body. It's what it says in Philippians chapter 3. That our bodies, our vile bodies, our sinful bodies are going to be changed to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, and every man that hath this hope. Hope of what? Hope of the change. Of the physical change of our bodies. Amen? He says, purifieth himself even as He is pure. You know, there's going to come a day when the rapture of the church is going to take place. You know that we live in a day and time when people are even going against that? Oh yeah. Mid-trib, post-trib, ain't no trib. Oh yeah, all of that. Hey, I still believe the Lord's coming. Amen. I still believe we're not appointed to wrath. I still believe that God has a plan. Amen. Yeah. And it is, and we're not going to spend the tribulation here. You can stay if you want to. I'm out of here. Amen. That's right. That's what's going to happen. Amen. I think that if we read church history and the founding fathers and going back through the generations, you're going to find that they too believed in a pre-tribulational rapture. You're going to find also, watch this. Watch this. Go back through history, all the way back to the ages of the disciples. You're going to find a whole lot more that believe Genesis chapter 6, sons of God, was angelic beings. Then you're going to find that believe they were the descendants of Seth. That's right. That's right. He says here, it doth not appear, but it says, we shall be like Him. We're going to be just like Jesus. That old sinful body, it's gone. We're transformed. A different person. You know what I like? Is that Jesus, when He came back and He had His glorified body, He could still eat. Bless God, there's going to be some eating up in heaven. Amen. How many like that? Amen. I'm hungry now. Amen. And so, going to be some eating up in heaven. Huh? And I think our bodies are kind of going to look the same. The Bible says we're going to know even as we're known. That's what the Scripture says. How are you going to know me if I don't look the same? Huh? So I'm going to kind of look the same. But it's going to be a better version of me. It's going to be a better version of you. It's going to be no more sickness. And no more pain. And no suffering. And heaven is going to be incredible. And we're going to be there forever. And Jesus is going to be there. Amen? I like that. This is what He says in John 1:12. My voice is going, so I'm going to speak fast. John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. You and I have been given the power to become a son of God. That is a privilege. That is a privilege. You see, Satan is not even called a son of God. Not anymore. Not when he stuck his finger in God's face. No, not anymore. No, he's called Satan. Amen? But we have been given the privilege, the right, amen, to be called the sons of God. Now, we're not the only begotten son, but we are sons nevertheless. We're in the family. Amen? We might be adopted, but bless God, we're in the family. Right? We're in the family. Amen? And it's okay if I'm adopted. You know that in Jewish adoption, they had all the rights as a son that was biologically born. Do you know that? That adopted son had all the rights. Even in this country, do you know that? Go ahead and adopt somebody. You can't just kick them out the next week and decide you don't want them. Nuh-uh. The law applies. And that child has rights. When you sign your name right there and says, he's mine, he's yours until that kid turns 18 years of age. Amen? Well, the good thing about being in God's family
is it's an eternal thing. It's forever. We are the sons of God. And I'll finish with this right here. I'm going to go back to 1 John. And this is what it says. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Huh? What an honor and what a privilege that God bestowed upon us. That we should be called the sons of God. Amen? God had other sons, but they disobeyed Him. They turned on Him. Yeah. They sure did. They turned on Him. Convinced others to turn on Him as well. That's what Lucifer did. He convinced others to turn against God. You know, I'm so thankful that my name is written in heaven. I'm so thankful that I know a little something about this book. I know just enough to get me in trouble. Just enough to get me in trouble, amen? Thank you, church, amen? Because I think you're mature enough, amen, to handle it, amen? To know, amen, that there were several groups of fallen angels in the Bible. Yeah. God has a bigger plan that we will never understand this side of heaven. But He gives us just a little bit of it. Amen? He gives us two witnesses in the New Testament that relates that group of angels right back to Noah and to the same sin as Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, sure does. But I'm so thankful that we are born into God's family. Amen? That we're perfect in Christ. I wanted to say something this morning in my message and I left it out. But man, I don't think I have time tonight. But let me just say this to you. If you look there at 1 John chapter 3, where it talks about us being the sons of God, look at verse 9. This is a very interesting thought. Verse 9. It says, whosoever is born of God, watch this, doth not commit sin. Wow. You committed any sins today? This week? This year? Probably have, hadn't you? Uh-huh. I wouldn't for a minute say that I'm reading your mind, but you probably have. Well, then what's he talking about here? That whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. He says in verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. What's he talking about? The inward man. The righteousness of God in him. Amen? And the inward man doth not commit sin. Because his seed remains in us. And then he goes on to say, and he cannot sin. That's what the Bible says about the sons of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you for these dear folks. Speak to our hearts, Lord God. Bless the invitation, Lord God. Maybe one of your children needs to come forward tonight, Lord God, and do business with you. I pray that they will. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed, and musicians are going to begin to play.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. Daily live, I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
You know, if you're not a born-again Christian, and you're in that same group as those fallen angels are. You're an enemy of God until you get that salvation, until you give your life to Christ and ask Jesus into your heart. They were singing, when church started here earlier, they were singing about God's grace. God is so good. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your sin is. It doesn't matter how bad you are or how far back you're backsliding as a Christian even. God forgives you. God's grace wash away all that sin. Don't leave here tonight lost. God forbid that you'd be in a car accident on the way home and be damned to an eternal hell. We're going to play another verse or two. If you're here tonight and you're without Christ, come on down and give your life to Christ. Or maybe you need to move a membership. Maybe you just want to do business with God. The altar's open.
All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Okay, I'll let you be seated here for just a minute. I have something to share with you. Bring him on up here, brother. Give me your first and last name.
Guerrero.
Luis.
Luis Guerrero.
That's what I thought it was. He has accepted Christ, and he is wanting to have membership here in the church. So we're going to vote on him for membership and for baptism. So all in favor, right hand. All so carried, amen. All right. So after we dismiss, if you'll stay up here with us, brother, they're going to come by and shake hands with you and welcome you into the church. So if you'll stand with me, we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. We'll be dismissed. And y'all be sure to come by and shake hands with Lewis here, okay? Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We thank you for the night. We thank you for the message that we just heard. And Father, we do thank you for your love and for your grace and the salvation that we have through the Lord Jesus. Father, we just love you and praise you for that. And Father, we ask as we be dismissed tonight that you carry us home safe, bring us back safe Wednesday night, and we'll love you and praise you for it. And Father, we thank you for the one that's been saved and joined the church here tonight, and for the ones that were saved this morning, Father. We just love you and praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.